I have had the privilege of filling 4 missions for this church, and that has provided me an opportunity to compare the teachings of this church as we have received them through the restoration of the gospel, through the prophet Joseph Smith, with the teachings of many other churches. And my, how grateful I am to be a member of this church. Now, just to mention one or two, just think what we got from the visit of the Father and the Son to the prophet Joseph, a realization that the Father and the Son are 2 separate individuals and that they are real personages like Jesus was when he came forth from the tomb. There wasn't a church in the world that believed in that at the time the prophet Joseph received that wonderful vision. Then we learn that marriage can be eternal, that that's the plan of the Lord. And how grateful I am for that principle, because it gives me the assurance that someday I'll be reunited with that sweet companion of mine who has already preceded me into the eternal worlds. And as I have said before, I would just as soon believe that death was a complete annihilation of both body and spirit as to think that I had to live on throughout the eternities that are to come without a continuation of the love ties that bind me and my wife together with the wonderful family that the Lord has given to us. One of the other great truths that we learned through the restoration, just to briefly mention, is the fact that infants should not be baptized. That's a mistake of men. That isn't to be found anywhere in the Lord's teachings. But Jesus took little children in his arms and blessed them. And when I've discussed some of our beautiful philosophies with others of other churches, many of them would say, well, we could accept your teachings, but we can't believe that Joseph Smith was a prophet. And I've thought a lot about that, and I suppose it'd be almost impossible to believe that God was naive enough to choose a 14-year-old boy to usher in the dispensation of the fullness of times, as Paul said, in which dispensation he would bring together in one in Christ all that which is in heaven above and that which is upon the earth beneath. And that opens the door for the consideration of another beautiful principle, and that's the principle of the preexistence of spirits, that we are literally the children of God, the Eternal Father, that we lived with him before we came here upon this earth. The Apostle Paul said, the Lord hath before appointed the bounds of the habitations of all men for to live upon the face of the earth. He said, we have had the fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we yielded them obedience. Should we not much more be in obedient to the Father of spirits that we might live? I like the thought that he's my Father. When Jesus prayed, he didn't pray my Father which art in heaven. He prayed our Father which art in heaven. And that's a wonderful thing. That's why our primary children sing, I am a child of God. The Lord has his own way of calling prophets, and he knew them before they were ever born here in mortality. We read in the book of Abraham that the Lord stood in the midst of the spirits, and he said, there were many noble and great ones, and they couldn't be noble and great if they hadn't done something to make them noble and great. And the Lord said, these I will make my rulers. And Abraham, thou wast one of them. Thou wast chosen before thou wast born. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And the Lord stood in the midst of those spirits, and there were others there who became his prophets here in mortality, as we read about Jeremiah when he was called to be a prophet. He couldn't understand it. And the Lord said, before thou wast born, I knew thee. Before thou wast conceived in thy mother's womb, I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. And he couldn't have ordained him if he didn't exist. And he wouldn't have ordained him before he was born if he hadn't have done something in that spiritual life to prepare him to become one of the Lord's mouthpieces here upon this earth. The same thing is true of the prophet Joseph. I'll come back to that. We read that there was war in heaven, that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon or Satan was cast down to the earth, and the cry went out, woe to them that dwell upon the earth, for Satan is cast down, and he goeth about seeking whom he can destroy. And that's what he has been doing. When the spirits were cast out of, and he drew a third of the host of heaven with him. And when they were cast out, that third of the host of heaven brought with them the knowledge that they had in the spirit world, while our knowledge was temporarily taken from us through our birth into mortality. The Apostle Paul said, now we see in part, we know in part, we see through a glass darkly, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away, and we shall see as we are seen, and know as we are known. To me, that will be a complete restoration of all that we knew before we came here into mortality, what our lives were in the spirit world. Now, because Satan brought with him the best illustration we have about how we lose our knowledge was the life of the Savior. We read in the first chapter of St. John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by the Word was all things created that created are, and not one thing was created except by the Word of God. And the Word was the life and the light of the world, the light of every man coming into the world. And then it goes on, and the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. While Jesus created everything according to the scripture, nevertheless, when he was born into mortality, he had to learn to walk and talk as other children at the age of 12. We find him reasoning with the wise men in the temple, and later on, he said, I do nothing save that which I have seen my Father do. Now, because Satan brought with him the knowledge that he had in the spirit world, he knew who he fought against in that war in heaven, and he has tried to put to death the prophets of God. That's why Jesus, standing on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city of Jerusalem, said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a chicken gather her, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, and you would not. Therefore is your house left desolate unto you, and you shall not see me again until you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Today we are coming because we have been sent in the name of the Lord. Like Paul said, faith comes by hearing, the word of God. And how shall they hear except it be preached unto them? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And we have been sent. Now I want to just come back to illustrate what I'm trying to tell you. When Moses was born, the devil put it into the heart of Pharaoh to have all the male children in Israel put to death. Thousands had been born before that time, but Satan knew that he would have to reckon with Moses. And you remember how Moses' mother saved his life by making a basket of bulrushes and putting him in the river, and how the Pharaoh's daughter took him out and cared for him. When Jesus was born, Satan put it into the heart of Herod to have all the children in Bethlehem and surrounding territory put to death under 2 years of age. There had been thousands born before that time, but Satan knew he'd have to reckon with the Savior. He was in that war that was fought in heaven when Satan and a third were cast out. When Joseph Smith went in the woods to pray, only 14 years of age, a power of darkness rested upon him till he felt like it would crush the very life out of his body. But through his prayer, finally, a pillar of light descended and he was released from the power of Satan. Satan knew that he would have to reckon with that man, Joseph Smith, because he was one of those noble and great ones that God said he would make his rulers. We read in the Book of Mormon that when Lehi was in the desert, he told his son Joseph that the Lord had promised Joseph, who was sold into Egypt, that in the latter days he would raise up a prophet from his loins like unto Moses. And we're told in Holy Writ that there was no prophet in Israel like unto Moses because he walked and talked with God. That's the kind of a prophet the Lord promised Joseph. 3,000 years before Joseph was born, Joseph Smith, he said his name shall be Joseph and his father's name shall be Joseph. And he said, he shall bring forth my word. The prophet Joseph Smith brought us the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, many other writings. He has given us more revealed truth than any prophet who has ever lived upon the face of the earth, as far as our records show. And he said, he shall not only bring forth my word, but he shall bring men to conviction of my word that has already gone forth among them. What do you mean by that? That in the midst of these hundreds of churches that are by men's interpretation of the scriptures, and because they can't agree, the churches keep multiplying, that the Lord would give to this new prophet the ability to comprehend the scriptures that had already been sent forth among them. And then he adds, and he shall bring men unto salvation. Why? Because he would receive the holy priesthood, the power to administer the saving ordinances of the gospel. And then he adds, and he shall be great in mine eyes, whatever the world may think of the prophet Joseph Smith. There's the statement of the Lord that he would be great in his eye. Now I'd like to give you a little experience in the mission field of what I think the Lord meant when he said he shall not only bring forth my word, but shall bring men to conviction of my word that has already gone forth among them. When I was in Holland, I was invited to talk to a Bible class of businessmen. We met in the home of a prominent furniture dealer. There were about 20 men. Each had his Bible. The only woman was the daughter of the man of the house. And they gave me an hour and a half to discuss universal salvation, which is our work for the dead, preaching in the spirit world, baptism, living for the dead, I just gave them chapter and verse. And when I was through, I closed my Bible and waited for a comment. The first comment came from the daughter of the man of the house. She said, "Father, I just can't understand it. I've never attended one of these Bible classes in my life, that you haven't had the last word to say on everything. And tonight, you haven't said a word." A man shook his head. He said, "My daughter, there isn't anything to say. This man has been teaching us things we've never heard of and been teaching them to us out of our own Bibles. I could tell you many more like that. God bless you and thank God for the restoration of the gospel to the prophet Joseph Smith. I leave you my testimony in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen."